It's another edition of the Exit 52 podcast, Instant Analysis, Sunday night, April 28th. My name is Jake Luke in a stripped back studio setup here. Still haven't gotten all my stuff set back up after the Jimmy's thing on Thursday night. But regardless, I'm here to talk some Orioles with my guy, Spencer Nathaniel Schultz. How are we doing today, sir?
Doing all right. Got a little golf in. Orioles drop 2 out of 3 to the Oakland, Sacramento, Las Vegas, Intergalactic Athletics. And boy, oh boy, what a stupid series loss that amplified for the first time here how much of a workhorse Felix Bautista was and the amount of stress that he took physically, which obviously resulted in injury. And the Orioles rely too heavily on Craig Kimbrell early on. Has had an outing in nearly half of the Orioles games so far at well over 30 years old there. The storied 424 saves, I believe, and was really aces for a while, but he is about to turn 36 years old and exits with lower back tightness, couldn't get the ball over the plate. And it just feels like a tough situation where Felix Bautista may very well have come close or won a Cy Young last year. And the Orioles, I believe, were 30-16 in one score games last year. They are 2-4 right now. It's early. There's a lot of games. It's not the end of the world. The sky's not falling. But you're bound to look human eventually when you lose someone like Felix Bautista. And I know people were like, oh, we'll go get Josh Hader. Josh Hader has like a 9 ERA. There just wasn't a simple answer. Felix Bautista was so dominant. Craig Kimbrell blows 2 out of 3 games in the series. Today, specifically, they let him pitch after a mound visit. He throws one pitch instead of bringing in Dylan Tate, maybe. Maybe there were some signs. I don't know, can get into the whole management thing. If you're mad, I get it about that. But the Orioles lose 7-6. They lose, 3-2 on Friday night. And then sandwich that with a really awesome get-right game. It felt like a get-right game after dropping Friday night, 7-0. So an up-and-down series against the scrappy A's team. I know early on, and the Orioles deserve all the flack in the world for losing this series, but the A's, I think, are 12-16 now. There's all the jokes, oh, just bet against the A's money line and you'll, profit every single day. They're scrappy, and Tyler Nevin, be damned. Tyler Nevin has himself a series, as it goes yard today, is a nice little series there. So just a little extra salt in the wound. And blowing leads, man. I mean, going up big, taking over control, supposed to be able to put those games away. That's who the Orioles were last year. That's why they won 101 games. Like, that is the reason why they won so many games, in my opinion. They were able to, especially in rubber matches, put teams away. And you thought they'd be able to do so with 7-0 yesterday, but come back today, have a little bit of a struggle from, not even a struggle. Albert Suarez just looked a little normal, human, a little bit more tape out on him, okay, but doesn't go very deep. Throws 83 pitches, gets 4 innings, and then they unravel late in the game. So it is stinky. It is bad. And I think that the Orioles have some soul searching to do as the Yankees come to town. And it's easy to say in a football, football mindset, oh, well, the Yankees put up 15 runs. Last I saw it was 15-5. Maybe they scored more. I don't know. But, oh, of course, the Yankees are coming to town after scoring 15 runs. Who knows? I mean, the A's show, the beauty of baseball, the reason they play so many games is because if literally any given day, anyone can beat anyone. But the Orioles beat themselves in many ways, it felt like. And this was avoidable. It was stupid. And hopefully it is a little eye-opening and gets the senses tingling and the Orioles figure out their bullpen a little bit. I would assume, to make an ass out of you and me, that Kimbrell goes to the IL. I mean, they have worked him to death already. It is so early and they've worked him so hard. It's not sustainable. It wasn't sustainable in the end for Felix Bautista. It's not sustainable for anyone. So need to find some answers, need to be able to separate a little better and got to protect high leverage guys a little bit better.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's really a tale of two types of blown saves where Friday night, I was actually in the house. God damn, that was a cold game. Just, temperatures were probably only in the 50s, upper 40s, but there was wind blowing and it just got progressively worse the more the sun went down. And just a really kind of low energy game. Orioles scored 2 runs, I think, in the 4th and the 5th or somewhere thereabouts. Overall, they kind of just let them nibble their way back in. ultimately. And you have an error, of course, from Ryan McKenna. I don't really know if it was an error, was classified as one, but a ball
hit poor defensive play.
Yeah, a ball was hit hard in his direction over there in right field and misplayed it. I believe the A scored on that one. I think Kowser had an error in that game as well. Might have been a throwing one. I was sitting right in front of him. I probably should remember that a little bit better. But like I said, I kind of just wanted to wipe that one from the memory books. That was obviously a tough one. And that was kind of the first one where the wheels really started to feel like maybe they were coming off for Kimbrel, but you sort of felt like, it's okay. Maybe they'll be able to get him some rest overall and, you know, kind of let him ease his way, extricate himself from the proceedings a little bit, you know, try to freshen himself back up for more appearances. But, you know, what do you know? They needed him again today. And it just looked even worse than it did on Friday night. The command just not there at all. I didn't really get to watch much of today, full disclosure, but I did catch the bottom of the ninth. And let me tell you, it looked very similar to what I saw when I was in the house on Friday night. No pictures were going to be tweeted from my account in an interesting pose celebrating Uncle Craig, because he has had a rough couple days. And like you said, IL seems like probably could be in the cards for him. I'd be curious who they'd go to as a closer. Cano hasn't looked super solid this year. I know he's kind of played that role here at times, but it feels like moves need to be made. Thankfully, sounds like Kyle Bradish is coming back post-haste here, so it'll be good to get him back in the rotation. That'll probably provide some good depth. John Means actually had a nice outing too. It sounds like he's ramping back up. And Suarez, I didn't catch today. I don't know how he pitched, but he's looked okay at times, so maybe you could move him into a long relief role and give yourself some options. But they are running thin as it goes, because like we've been saying, guys like Mike Bauman, guys like Jacob Webb, I'm really not confident in. Keegan Aiken's been way more up and down this year than he was last. So, yeah, it looks like the holes on this roster have begun to expose themselves here about a month into the season. And, bullpen seems to be the most glaring one.
Yeah, I mean, that was the big question mark heading into the season, and clearly is going to be a work in progress. But I just don't know what you can do at this point. Typically, you don't see a lot of trades early in the season. You'll see some here and there. Bullpen help is, like I just said, I think the A's are 12-16. Everybody's still in it. Nobody wants to be dumping their bullpen this early in the season. Maybe there's a team. So I don't know. You see Mason Miller look outstanding and electric, sitting guys down throughout this series. On Friday night, just absolutely running through 102, 102, 102, 101, 101. I think he got five swing and misses in just one inning there. So a really strong performance from him and someone that's been eyed up. But again, it's too early for that most likely. So the Orioles are going to look at CNL Perez, going to look at maybe a Vespi getting called up. I would imagine Dylan Tate probably continues to push into a more high leverage role if Kimbrel does hit the IL. His sweepers looked electric, and he is who they brought in to have to get outs there. But with the Yankees coming to town, awful day to against the Oakland A's. And again, I'll contradict myself, but against a team that you shouldn't have to do this against, only getting four innings and eating into all of your high leverage guys right before the Yankees come to town is just setting you up for failure with a swift knife, a swift sharp blade there. So that stinks. The bullpen, not in great shape. Keegan Aiken's been strong at times. Danny Coulomb's been strong. Lets up a solo shot. I think that was his second time he's letting up a solo shot with two outs. If you can get his rhythm on his movement, he's not throwing, 99. So you can time those up if you can see him or guess right. A difficult situation. The Oriole bats, Friday night, definitely cold. Not a lot of energy there. Believe that there were not a ton of on that night. Colton Cowser got into one 105 mile an hour exit velo. I think that might have been
Mullins hit a solo homer too,
and that was kind of a dinky dinker too. No, that was 29 out of 30. Never mind, 377. Yeah, he got into that one. Not a ton of juice. That had an exit velo of 84. Not a lot of home runs hit with that, but so he got that one up in the air. Pretty good there. So Oriole bats come alive in the game two there. Really strong outing, just absolutely pissing on the baseball. Adley Rutschman has been incredible, is on a tear. I think he's hitting 450 over a 9-game hit streak right now, hitting home runs from both sides of the plate, hit one out today. Ryan Mountcastle gets into one today. Able to see some bats hitting balls, but not an overall strong performance aside from Saturday. And the Orioles have struggled on the weekend a little bit. The City Connects, which I thought looked great with the white pants, did not provide any juice. I think the Orioles have like a -68 run differential, something along those lines. I think Jacob Kalbermeier figured out. Of the sun. So Friday night at home has not been treating the Orioles very well, especially in those City Connects. But man, I mean, Yankees coming to town, Grayson Rodriguez coming off of a really, really, really bad start where everything was getting timed up. Suarez looking human. Bradish maybe pitching the fourth game of this series, a four-game series. So the Yankees are going to be in town all week. And man, Hard to feel great about the state of the Orioles right now. Corbin Burnes in one of those games you feel good about, but Dean Kramer obviously has been up and down. I mean, if you get Bradish,
our guy Swervin Irvin on Saturday. We got to shout him out.
He was electric, absolutely. Probably the best start of any Orioles pitcher so far this year.
Seven innings pitched, four hits, five punch outs. That's got to be easily his best start of the year.
And the movement really was electric. As well, he was locating all over. So was an awesome performance by him. He was definitely the most impactful player on Saturday and probably the most impactful Oriole of this series. Had a +29 win probability added there and did it in a lot of different ways. So I think he has stepped up a ton, has had a couple really nice outings for them, and can't ask for much more from Cole Irvin, who I thought was a fantastic signing and was really disappointed by last year. Someone that hope to be able to be that kind of 200 innings eater, but looking the part this year a little bit more so. Some question marks. I mean, like you said, Suarez, I would imagine, probably heads to the bullpen with Means and Bradish. And Brandon Hyde was asked, said, you know, there's no possibility off the table that they could go to a six-man rotation, things of that nature. But it's a lot of sorting to do, a lot of tinkering to do with the rotation and with the bullpen at this point. And I don't know what the clear answer is, but it's bad. It's bad right now. Very bad.
Yeah. Something tells me water is going to find its level a little bit, but it might take some time. And I don't know if you can split this Yankee series, call it 2-2. Like everyone wants to talk about, you know, them scoring however many runs they did in these recent games. But I mean, you know, like we see with the Orioles, they have hot bats all the time and they can go quiet. Like they, you know, they scored 13 combined runs and a 1-1 record against the A's for the first two. And then obviously, we saw what happened today. The bats even were still hot, but the pitching just wasn't there. So overall, it's, you know, you just got to, you really need to heat these bats up. That's kind of what it comes down to, because you have the talent there. And I know that they sent Holiday back down and they're working some guys in. Home run from Arias today. That's nice to see. But overall,
also was awesome today. Singled, stole bases, walked, has had really productive at bats consistently. Arias and Mateo have been certainly earning their keep.
Yeah, overall, just even with the Jags hitting 8 and 9 that you're having out there every day, this is a batting order that should be able to put up, you know, four runs in just about any given game. So you have certain games where you go out and, you know, it's just not all the way there. I totally get that. But you definitely are going to need to find a way to start eliminating those and just manufacturing more runs, because, you know, you just need to give run support to some of these pitching outings. Like I thought, like you said, Burnes, I thought on Friday was fantastic. He gave up his obligatory solo shot to open the proceedings, but then overall you just didn't get much offense, and you know that winds up being a loss for the team. And if he's going to pitch like that, you really got to take advantage, because like we keep talking about, there's just not a ton of depth there. So you're going to need to really heat these bats up for the Yankees coming into town. Win some boat races, you know, that's what it's going to come down to.
For sure. Jordan Westberg out of the lineup with a stomach bug there. So Urias does go yard. Again, really like what Jorge Mateo's done, has a hit and a walk, steals base. Just applying a lot of pressure, too. He was jumping around yesterday. he keeps bluffing and faking and going back and getting pitch outs, stealing balls for his guys. So that's been fun to see. Gunnar Henderson with a tough day today, goes 0-for-5. The Orioles do score 6 runs today, but also 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. Mullen steals a base. Mountcastle steals a base. And again, I mean, Keegan Aiken came in, was nails, gets through 2 innings. Coulomb lets up the solo shot there. Cano looks in. Webb comes in for an out after Coulomb. Cano comes in and was pretty nails as well. So, man. And again, Cano, so much pressure going to be put on him. I still feel, I don't know. I feel like Tate might be a guy. You might want to keep Cano as is and move Tate into a higher leverage role and have him in the ninth if Kimbrel goes out. But Cano, another guy that just tired out last year. The Orioles starters have to get deeper into games, especially against the Yankees this series, and that's a lot to ask. So it's a rock and a hard place right now. I mean, a lot of usage this past weekend, or I guess this weekend, and tough as the Yankees are right there with you. I think the Yankees now are in first place, if I'm not mistaken, by a half game. So not ideal, not ideal Sunday, not ideal of what you typically see from the Orioles in these rubber matches and winning so many series and not getting swept and things of that nature, and going to have to dig deep this week against the Yankees team that's been hot as hell.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, you know, sometimes that's the exact thing you need to kind of bring a shock to your system, right? You got the big bad Yankees coming into town. They're going to hit the ball all over the yard. And, you know, it's going to be up to Adley and some of the other leaders, some of the veterans on this club to say, hey, we're going to pick up the slack. We're going to start producing on offense. We're going to manufacture runs, and we're going to see what we can do to keep ourselves competitive in these games. And I think Hyde has the right temperament for that too, despite some of the weird decisions recently and despite the bullpen management, which really has left a lot to be desired throughout the year. I think he is the right type of guy, the guy who's going to have that right type of mentality to get them up for that series. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's going to be a tall task. You're not wrong about that.
Certainly. So with that in mind, we can do three dogs of the series, the Gunnar Henderson Award. Got to go Adley Rutschman, number one. He's just continued to see the ball incredibly well. From the right side of the plate, he has had such an insanely level, balanced, repeatable swing in this series. James McCann getting a lot of burn so far, especially against, of course, the lefties. But in this series, we see Adley go 1-for-3, 1-for-4, and then have the jack today. Just gritty performances, home runs in back-to-back games, and seeing the ball so damn well right now. So been a real pleasure to watch. Ends up having those two jacks, raising his average, I think, dipped down today to 318, but still continuing that on-base streak. And has just looked the part at the plate that I think we haven't seen. We have not seen him get this hot so far over a sustained period of time like this in his young career as a hitter.
Yeah, I'd just go with Irvin. I think he's the type of guy who, you know, you expect to have the great starts out of Burns and Grayson, but to have a guy like that, and you got to give Suarez his flowers, you know, too, in that respect with his first couple of starts that looked really good. To just have guys that can kind of keep the ship afloat like that, and obviously Irvin did it. Starting in the only win of the series, you got to give him his flowers because things can get off the rails with him at times, but that was exactly what he needed. And if they do go to a six-man rotation, I very much still expect him to be involved, but if not, I think he's making a case to be either way. So,
definitely. I'll go Ryan Mountcastle for the third there. He ends up going 3-for-4 today, 1-for-4 yesterday, 2 home runs in those two games, his first stolen base of the series, 2 RBI jack today. Awesome play at first today. As well, and has just hit the absolute skin off the baseball and been a ton of fun to watch. So him, Colton Cowser, Santander's still been pretty cold. One thing that is bothersome about this Orioles team, I think they're dead last in walks. They have not been taking their pitches, and it feels like, especially on Friday, teams have just been pitching around them. They've just been floating around the Orioles, making the Orioles take pitches. They're leading the MLB in home runs, and they're dead last in walks. So teams are like, all right, well, we're going to pitch around you, make you be disciplined at the plate. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of that with the Yankees coming to town. I don't think teams are really trying to blow by these guys for the most part, but Mountcastle, Gunner, Adley, at moments, Westberg, Cowser, all these guys having some really hot starts of the season, but love what I saw from Ryan Mountcastle in this series. Very, very much so.
Yeah. And he is kind of, you know, and those veterans that I talk about that you expect production out of, I think he's, you know, I think Santander is older, but I'd probably say that Mountie is a guy that you certainly would expect a ton of production out, maybe even more than Tony Taters when he's hot. And so, yeah, that was good to see as well. And like I said, he's going to really need to be one of those guys that's going to get up in front of the team and say, hey, let's pick up some slack here. So love Mountie. Love that call.
100%. He has... He's hitting 319, which is 32nd in baseball right now, is a 906 OPS, which is 42nd, and has been able to kind of conquer that wall that's given him some trouble. He's been having some psychological issues with that thing over the last couple of years here. So glad to see Mountie mounting up and putting some big dongs back into Camden Yards there. Very, very exciting to see, and can really carry you when he's hot. him and Tony both can carry a team. Get on base for him. When they're hot, they'll carry you. So been a lot of fun to watch Ryan Mountcastle so far this season. And yeah, I mean, at this point, I think we're looking at what, Dean tomorrow, Corbin Burns Tuesday. Wednesday is escaping me. Thursday is a TBD. So sounds like that's probably Kyle Bradish, who's been spectacular in his last couple starts down in Norfolk there. Norfolk just getting all the action in the world. Heston Kerstad, another interesting part, has seen one start. Doesn't get much burn in this series at all. Doesn't see any action today. Very curious about that. Really just brought him up for the bench, I suppose. So, yeah, would like to see him get a little trickle in there throughout this Yankee series, see what he can do. But very excited. Adley and Gunnar have been Yankee killers so far in their career. Last year they went pretty crazy in the Bronx. Trying to pull the stats up now, but very much enjoyed watching them take it to the Yankees so far in their career. Trying to find the splits here. In 2023, Gunnar Henderson in Yankee Stadium. Let's see here. Against the Yankees in general, Gunnar Henderson in 2023 hit 342 with a 148 OPS plus, 882 OPS, and let's see, had 3 home runs, 10 RBIs in 54 plate appearances with 4 doubles as well. So absolutely spanked the ball. And in Yankee Stadium, this will obviously be in Baltimore, but in Yankee Stadium here, gosh, I hate the way they orient this. Hit 367 last year with a 1.1 OPS, 21 total bases, 400 batting average on balls in play, 206 OPS plus with 3 home runs. So he has slashed extremely well against the Yankees and might be maybe AL player of the week again. Over the last 7 days here, let's see where Gunner's at. Over the last 5 games here, Gunnar hits 3 home runs, has 3 2-plus RBI games, has a double, and has just continued really smoking the ball. Hit one yesterday that felt like such a willpower type of home run on such a clean swing to continue his tirade on baseball right now.
We've been talking about moving him to third. Like, I'm kind of wondering if now is maybe the time to start tinkering with the top of the lineup a little bit, because he's been hitting in that one spot a lot. He's had a couple solo homers, if I recall correctly. I don't know. I just think, like, to shake things up with this offense a little bit, like, Adley's hitting it pretty well, like you said, and he hits a little bit less for power. He puts the ball in play a little bit more. Maybe go back to having him at the top of the batting order there. Then I'm not sure who you put in two, but then stick Gunnar at third and see if you can start generating some power against the Yankees lineup. It's going to be tough. Like, if we're trying to win a shootout, like I'm saying, maybe do that. Maybe sub Kerstad in at DH if you're going to catch Adley, and just see if they can go out there and just smoke the ball against the big bad boys from the Bronx.
Most certainly. And I did mention Adley Rutschman has been white hot against the Yankees as well. Against the Yankees in his career, has a 137 OPS plus, a 952 OPS, hits 360 against the Yankees with 6 home runs, 16 walks to 19 strikeouts, 7 doubles, only 1 home run so far against the Yankees in a clean 100 plate appearances there at 83 at-bats. So scored 15 runs as well. And Adley does hit insanely well in Camden Yards, 296 hitter to this point in Camden Yards in his career. And then in Yankee Stadium, obviously, again, I just think it's interesting that they have hit so well. Adley has a 278 average in Yankee Stadium. Not quite as good as I thought there, but has hit well against the Yankees and hit well against the Yankees at home there. So looking forward to those two at the top of the lineup in this series. Those are the two that have to carry you against the New York Yankees in a big series. So need to see them continue to do so. And they have shown nothing but the ability to do so over the short sample size of this season and the short sample size of their young careers. Adley getting a little bit up there in year 3 here. But let's see. Over Adley's hit streak here, he has had 5 multi-hit games. Has 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. Has only walked once to 5 strikeouts. A little bit more aggressive in that regard, but has a 1.044 OPS. So Adley's been seeing the ball so damn well and has gotten to DH pretty almost. Him and McCann have essentially been alternating throughout Rutschman's hit streak here, catching, then DH, catching, then DH, catching, then DH, catching, then DH. And I believe he DH'd again today, if I'm not mistaken. So keeping him nice and fresh, paying dividends at the plate, and getting James Buchanan into that lineup. So, yeah. Not great today from the Orioles. Not great from the bullpen. Not great from Craig Kimbrell. Would love to see them at least win that series. But again, indicative of the fact that Felix Bautista not going to be able to replace that guy, and the Orioles are going to have to do more to get close to doing so.
Yeah, got to find a way to at least replicate it a little bit, if that means tinkering with some things and trying guys in that spot and maybe, you know, exposing yourself a little bit. That's probably what you're going to have to do, because you're already sitting pretty exposed whenever you do get into a high leverage spot in the bottom or top of the ninth when you're trying to close one out. So I'm with you that he's definitely irreplaceable, but they've got to at least do a better job, at least recently, because Kimbrell, he looked great to start the year, and we love what he's done. And I think he's going to, you know, hopefully get healthier and figure things out as we head closer towards the summer here. But he definitely got probably burned out a little bit, and they're going to need to recreate him in the aggregate here in the meantime.
Orioles suffer their third loss of the season, in which they led after eight innings. They had four such losses all of last year and only three such losses in all of 2022. At home, they have lost as many games in those circumstances leading after eight as they have in the last 2 years. They only lost one in 2022 at home after going into the ninth inning with a lead. 2023, same deal, two so far. So again, I get being mad. I think you have a right to, but it's the reality of seeing an incredibly borderline historically dominant closer that was able to not just be a high leverage guy, but come in and get five outs for you and do it multiple times in a week at times and just shut shit down. So tough. Got to figure out a way around it. Hopefully the Orioles make moves in the next, you know, month or two, but I think we're going to be seeing the Orioles win. I mean, win a good bit of games still, of course. The sky is not falling in that regard. They're too competitive. Their staff has been good enough. Their lineup has too much talent. But I think we're going to see this be a very bad issue for quite some time. And I think we'll see it come to a head at some point. Guys are going to keep getting worn out. And when starters can't go, it's going to continue to eat up. And I think, you know, Keegan Aiken has been awesome so far this year. Wouldn't be surprised to see him come back down to earth. A couple guys in that regard. So, you know, you worry about Cano getting overused too. Got to figure something out. Going to have to bring guys in. Tough scene.
Very tough scene indeed. So Mike Elias has his work cut out for him. You know, he approached things a certain way for a certain reason, I'm sure. But, you know, as things are standing, it doesn't appear that it was good enough. So, yeah, hopefully the selling teams will begin to sell sooner rather than later. And the Orioles can maybe go out and make a move, even for a guy who's going to help you, if not necessarily push for an all-star or be sort of that World Series type move. It feels like they already kind of made that with Burns. But yeah, who knows? With Bradish coming back, with Means hopefully coming back, they got some reinforcements on the way. So hopefully that'll settle things in for the meantime. And then Kimbrell can come back after some time off, rested and ready to go again. But yeah, you're right. As of right now, people have a right to be upset, because this team is better than losing a series to the Oakland Athletics and all the jokes that have made about them. But, you know, credit to the Athletics as well. They played really well in the series, and they're playing above their talent level, I think, right now. So good for them, but bad for the Orioles. As, like we keep saying, they head into a massive, massive, massive series against the Yankees, which we will be covering as it unfolds. And then when it's done, we'll have another series recap for you guys. Don't know how involved I'll be. I'm going to be out of town this coming weekend. But I'm sure you guys will be all over it. So for everyone who tuned in, thanks for hanging with us. If you liked what you saw, you can follow us on YouTube by hitting that subscribe button. Leave a nice comment in the video to get the algorithm pumping for us. You can also follow us on social media at XM52 Podcast across Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. My name is Jake Luke, and my Twitter account is at Jake Luke. That's LOUQUE. I was joined by Spencer Schultz, who is at Ravens for Dummies on Twitter/X. And you can also find Eric Arditi. Shout out to Eric for sitting on the Iron Birds broadcast. Very cool stuff there with his name is escaping me, but our buddy up there who does the play-by-play for them. You can find him on Twitter at EDITTI22. You can find Brian at Barstool Banks, and Taylor is at Taylor Smythe 10. Thank you once again, guys, for tuning in to not the most fun series recap we've done, but a necessary one all the same. And we'll talk to you again very, very soon.
See ya.
Arrivederci.